Big, big night in the general election campaign, the televised leaders' debate. What did you make of it? Were you glued to the TV or was it a complete turn off? Were you outraged at Northern Ireland's exclusion? If you think of it, Julie Etchingham started that programme off last night right throughout the UK by saying, here we are with the parties from England, Scotland and Wales represented. And not a mention, diddly squat, for Northern Ireland. Did that wind some of you up? Some of you were contacting me when I was on Five Live last night. Outraged at that. We'll get your views. 08459 555 678. Who do you think was the winner last night? Let's remind ourselves of some of the action.
The Green Party is determined to deliver a fair economy.
I will always act responsibly. I'll never let anyone else borrow money that we don't have and jeopardise your risks, your jobs and our economy.
Under our plans, the deficit will be cut from £90 billion to £30 billion by 2020.
The choice at this election is sticking with a plan that's working or going back to the debt, taxes, borrowing and spending that got us in this mess in the first place.
We want an alternative to the pain of austerity, an end to the bedroom tax, a halt to the privatisation of the NHS.
Open-door immigration has depressed the wages for ordinary people, made buying houses for youngsters very difficult, made it tough to get a GP appointment, and not been good for this country.
If I'm Prime Minister, I'll rescue our NHS, hiring more doctors and nurses. I'll build a future for all of our young people.
Cos Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cos Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cos Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
You failed the British people. You've broken your bond of trust on the national health. They believed you. They believed you. They believe you're another kind of Conservative. And it's gone backwards on your watch and they won't trust you again.
Edmund Brown is simply wrong on the figures. There are more nurses, more doctors, more people being treated. And that's because we have a strong economy.
I'm married to a foreigner. You're married to a foreigner. But let's be open-hearted, generous spirited.
Should we control it? Should we control it?
All I'm saying is...
Should we control it? That's the question.
Stop bad immigration, but don't...
How?
Paint everybody with
how?
The same brush.
How? Joan's question is, how do you control immigration as an EU member?
Where are those cuts going to fall? Who is going to pay the price
of
those cuts?
In the last Parliament, Nicola, we found £21 billion of savings in welfare because everybody knows that welfare was overblown and needed to be properly dealt with.
Not from the audience. Well,
I think it's good to say...
I'm worried that at the end of the day there's more of us than there is
The lady makes an important point, which is there are people who come out of our armed services who do have difficulties, and that's why we should be putting money into the armed forces charities that help homeless people and people also with mental health problems when they come out of our armed services.
Thank you very much. Let's return to the issue.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Well, the former Conservative MP Gerry Hayes with us this morning. What did you make of it, Gerry?
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting. I mean, nobody tanked. Ed Miliband didn't stab himself in the eye with a bio and his trousers didn't fall down to his ankles. And no one embarrassed themselves, and that was about it. I think everyone wanted...
But you wanted slightly more than that, didn't you?
What?
You wanted a fight in there, not a physical fight, but you wanted it to be slightly more feisty, somebody to land a blow than what it was.
They're all scared, you see. They've all had their spin doctor saying, you've got to be careful what you've got to say, you mustn't upset too many people. I think what people like to see is a bit of passion. And you saw a bit of passion from Nicola Sturgeon. I mean, I thoroughly disagree with her. I think she's a thoroughly dangerous woman. But nevertheless, I think she came over rather well last night. And I thought that girl from, it sounds patronised, I don't mean it like that, Leon Wood from Plaid Cymru.
Not Leon, Leanne.
What?
She's not a man, Leanne. Not Leon, Leanne.
Oh, I meant Leanne. But I thought she was rather good news.
Well, news journalist Alison Morris with us. The glaring omission of anybody from Northern Ireland, Alison.
I think at the start you would have said you would have liked some Northern Ireland politicians there to give us a bit of local flavour. But when it actually kicked off, you could see that the seven was too much already. There was overkill. There was too many voices in the room. And had you thrown maybe a Peter Robinson or Martin McGuinness in there, I think first of all we would have got lost, and also our local issues wouldn't have actually been of much relevance within that debate.
But was it not?
Was it not,
Alison, a glaring insult when you saw those range of voices in there, the range of accents in there, Scotland represented, England represented, Wales represented? It was as if Northern Ireland didn't exist.
It was, and it was almost an hour into the actual debate before there was even a mention of Northern Ireland. So So it was as if we were a side issue to this. Although Nicola Sturgeon did say several times, should there be any referendum, as did Leanne Wood, should there be a referendum on Europe, that it needed to include all four, including Northern Ireland. But they were the only people who seemed to even give a mention of it. I mean, the party leaders, I mean, Cameron wasn't much interested, Miliband never mentioned it, and Nick Clegg has his own issues.
And still, and wait for this, still to this day, this morning, the BBC still don't know when they're broadcasting their leaders' debate that they're doing in Northern Ireland, when or where they are broadcasting that throughout the UK. There's a statement from the BBC local press office which says the following: BBC Northern Ireland is broadcasting a leaders' debate on BBC One Northern Ireland on Tuesday the 5th of May. Schedules are currently being looked at with a view to broadcast that debate across the whole of the UK. Details will be announced soon. So they're still, Alison, looking at the schedule. They haven't even decided yet, the BBC, when or where they're putting the NI debate across the UK. What on earth is going on?
We're a month into the election. I think they need to get their finger out and get us a date for it.
But what message does it send out?
In a debate. At the same time, too, I understand that there is difficulties in trying to get those parties all together and get them all on the podiums together. But there does need to be some sort of more proactive choice making to try and get those leaders on the podium, because there's local interest. We need to know what they have to say about these issues, and we are, after all, licensed fee payers, and we deserve the same service as people in Scotland and England and Wales are getting.
Jerry?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm rather worried that the BBC hasn't decided formally to let the British people know what the DUP and Sinn Féin and other leaders in Northern Ireland say, because we could have the situation, unlikely but possible, where the DUP could hold the balance of power. Now, the majority of people in Britain generally haven't got a clue what the DUP stands for, and they should have the right to know. I think it's pretty simple. I think the BBC have behaved pretty stupidly.
Here's the number this morning, 08459 555 678. Right after the televised debate last night, I spoke to the senior Conservative Party politician, the Home Secretary, Theresa May.
Well, I think what came out of that whole two-hour debate was David Cameron gave a very strong performance. I think he was clearly in command. I think there were points where you saw the other six leaders actually scrapping among themselves. And it was very clear that David was the only leader who'd got a plan for the future. That's about building on the success we've had with the long-term economic plan so far. But his clear message at the end was, don't throw it all away.
Yeah, and we heard his rehearsed lines, didn't we, of how many jobs this government has created. And we saw him, Theresa, duck the question when he was asked where we're getting the 12 billion of cuts from. He simply said we've had 21 billion so far, and he didn't answer the question.
Well, can I just pick up on what you've just said about the rehearsed lines? Because actually, you talk about the figures. These are figures that are facts. You know, there are nearly 2 million people, more people in work now than were in 2010. And that's not just a figure. It's about people who've got a steady wage now going into their pockets for themselves and their families, giving them security. And that's what we're talking about. Yes, we've got to take some difficult decisions again for the next couple of years in relation to public sector spending. And we've set out how we can achieve that. But crucially, this is about building a strong economy.
Well, that's the point. That's the whole point, though. You haven't set out where the 12 billion of cuts are coming from. You've refused to do so.
What we've done is we've been very clear that of the 30 billion that we say needs to be saved, 30 billion, which, by the way, Labour voted for as well, they accepted that 30 billion is going to have to be saved in public sector expenditure. 13 billion of that will come from savings in government departments, 5 from bearing down on tax avoidance and tax evasion, and 12 billion from welfare. And yes, we have said, I mean, there are some indications about what we would do, such as freezing working age benefits. So, you know, we are being clear about the approach that we would take.
You're not being
clear.
But
it's important
to
have a strong...
Well, hold on a second. You're not being clear about the 12 billion. And if you want to challenge me on that, spell out tonight, Theresa May. Add up the 12 billion for me. Let's start at zero. Add it up.
What you will see is when the time comes, you will see the whole of the 12 billion. But what I've just done I've just indicated to you, for example, working age benefits being frozen. But why we need... The question is, why do we need to do this? The question is, why do we need to do these changes?
But that's not the question.
Why do we need to do the... Yes, it is the question. I'm sorry. It is the question.
But you're not addressing the question that I'm asking, which is, tell us tonight. Because here we have this political language from you. you that you're being really clear. So be crystal clear with me tonight and help me understand how you get to the 12 billion.
I have indicated to you that, given you an indication in relation to the part of the 12 billion.
That adds up to how much?
But I've been clear about part of the 12 billion, but what I'm very clear about, and we've said that we will not be, I'm not setting out tonight every detail of that 12 billion.
You're not setting out most of it.
But what I'm clear about is why we need to take these measures.
You see,
and the Labour Party has supported the 30 billion cuts. They voted in Parliament
for those
30 billion cuts.
But Theresa, here's what I don't understand. Here's what I don't understand. If your party has nothing to hide, and if the message that you really want to get through to the British public is that you're being clear, then why are you not spelling it out? What are you hiding in that 12 billion? Is it possible you're going to tax and hurt disabled people in this country, for example? Can you rule out cutting disabled people's benefits or taxing them? Can you rule that out?
What we're clear about is the principles on which we will be operating.
So you've just dodged that question.
And that is about protecting... No, well, if you let me say what I want to say in terms of how I wish to answer it, then perhaps you'd hear. The principles are very clear, which is about protecting the most vulnerable, about protecting disabled people, but it's also about protecting pensioners and making work pay.
But that was not... Now, so you have dodged the question, Theresa. You've completely dodged the question. So let me put it again. Disabled people in this country, can you rule out this evening cutting their benefits, putting an extra tax on their benefits? Can you rule that out?
What I've said is that we will in due course set out the 12 billion, but protecting disabled people, protecting the most vulnerable, is one of the principles that will underpin the decisions that we're taking. Also protecting pensioners and making work pay.
And
it's important that we make work pay, because that means that people can actually get into the workplace. What we've been doing is we've seen nearly 2 million more people in work under this government. What that means is that there are 2 million more people with that steady wage packet securing their future. We want to ensure another 2 million getting to work over the next Parliament under a Conservative government.
And when you just said that you will spell out in due course the 12 billion, will that be before the general election or after? What does due course mean?
Well, it means exactly what I say. It means that there will be a point in time when we will spell out that
before the election,
12 billion. If we're back in government, is of course to go into a comprehensive spending review to set out in relation to the future budgets of government departments so forth, what is going to happen in relation to spending.
But Theresa, you won't answer that question either then. When you said in due course you will spell out the 12 billion, does due course mean, can you give a promise tonight that it will be before people are asked to cast their vote?
What we will set out before people are asked to cast their vote is the approach that we are taking as a Conservative Party to addressing this issue.
The question is, will you spell out the 12 billion before the general election, yes or no? Will you spell it out before the general election?
What I've just said is that we will spell out the approach that we are taking in the future in relation to these matters.
OK. Theresa May, thank you very much indeed. So, Jerry Hay, she wouldn't tell us.
Oh, it was a complete car crash, wasn't it? And I always get suspicious, as you do, when politicians say, well, of course, our policy is absolutely clear. As soon as a politician says it's absolutely clear, it's not clear at all. I've always said that where the Conservative Party, which obviously I support, is most vulnerable, is on the 12 billion. And, of course, Ian Duncan Smith, the pension secretary, came on MAR last week and said exactly the same thing. So either they're going to do something incredibly clever or they're going to do something incredibly stupid. And I hope it is the former. I hope that when it comes to manifesto launch time, they're going to say, well, look, this is exactly what we're going to do.
But this is relevant. That interview with the Home Secretary, Theresa May, is relevant to Northern Ireland, Jerry, for this reason. Because if any of the political parties are going to team up with the Conservatives, if there is a hung parliament, if any of the local parties are going to support the Conservatives, then surely those local parties will need to know where the 12 billion of welfare reform cuts, the extra, because we've seen the whole hullabaloo that there was over the cuts so far, where is that 12 billion going?
Yeah,
for example, are the DUP going to insist now on knowing whether disabled people are now going to be hurt? You heard Theresa May dodge the question there when I asked if disabled people are going to have their benefits taxed now or cut.
The reason I suspect she dodged the question is no one has worked out a line. Now, something as fundamental as this, you've got to work out a line. You just can't say to your cabinet minister, oh, just go and speak to the interviewers and waffle away, because you won't allow them to do it. And they are going to become more and more vulnerable unless we get some clear answers. And I hope they are not going to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to have a review about it. Well, we've had a review, and I do not believe for one moment the government doesn't know what they're going to do.
But they're not.
We should be told.
But they're not telling us. And Alison Morris, it's not just the Tories, of course, that have questions to answer about this. Labour and indeed the Northern Ireland parties, they have questions to answer, Alison, as to where they would implement more of these welfare cuts.
Well, we've already seen the collapse of the Stormont House Agreement in relation to welfare being the crucial issue. And you know yourself that if they don't manage to come to a local agreement, we're going to have an agreement imposed on us from Westminster. And David Cameron said last night that they still need to save £1 from every £100 they spend. He's already made it clear that he's not going to increase taxes. So where is that money going to come from? It's obviously going to come from further benefit cuts. And it's also going to touch the working poor are who are going to be hit, because he's refusing to do anything about zero-hour contracts or raise the minimum wage. So you can see that it's the most vulnerable where this money's going to come from. It's okay. Certainly not from his hedge fund friend.
Let's see what we think at home this morning. 08459 555 678. Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim. Morning, Jim. Jim's not there. John in Crossgar. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
That was a national debate last night. I'm a little bit confused why SNP were there, because you can't vote for them outside of Scotland, or why Cymru were there, because you can't vote for them outside of Wales. All the other parties at least had representatives in the other areas. The same applies with the DUP or Sinn Féin or any of the crowd we have over here. You can't vote for them outside of Northern Ireland. They haven't got any representation. So what's all the shouting about?
OK, listen, thank you. Martin McGuinness has just tweeted within the last few minutes. First Ian Duncan Smith and now David Cameron and Theresa May won't spell out how they will take £12 billion from disabled children and the vulnerable. You heard Theresa May dodge it there. So before or if any of these Northern Ireland parties are going to support the likes of the Conservatives after the next general election, if there isn't an all-out majority, are they going to get any type of assurances as to where the £12 billion of cuts are not going to go? Jim, morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. You're talking about the cuts there. I watched a programme last week about a young lady in England, disabled, walks on a Zimmer frame, has a car supplied by the DLA, I think it's a DLA they call them. She goes to university, and then all of a sudden they take the car off her. So the young lady, in actual fact, is trapped in her own home. She actually went to university to better herself, to be part of the community, and this is what the government does. It's unbelievable. But another reason why I rang up, I was very, very annoyed last night. I watched the two-hour programme, and Northern Ireland was hardly mentioned in the sense...
That's right.
The broadcaster should have said, Northern Ireland is not taking part in this debate. Now, this morning on the early BBC News, the two interviewers, not once did they state that Northern Ireland was not part of that debate. So anyone looking at that TV this morning would think that Northern Ireland didn't exist.
And we still, Jim, despite the BBC promising us, publicly promising us, that at least the debate that's going to happen in Northern Ireland will be seen throughout the rest of the UK. Here we are on, what date is it today? The 3rd of April. Third. And the BBC still haven't decided where they're placing that local Northern Ireland debate throughout the rest of the UK. Well, so they haven't decided a slot.
I rang the BBC head office in London this morning to make a complaint about it. I was so annoyed.
Why would the BBC do that? Why would the BBC, Jim, not want to be reassuring people in Northern Ireland well ahead of time? Look, don't worry. We know you weren't in the national debate. We know England and Scotland and Wales were in there. But actually, here's where your local Northern Ireland debate is going to be seen throughout the rest of the UK. Let us give you the date. Let us give you the time. Let us give you the channel. And what did the BBC press office say yesterday? They're still working it out.
Yeah, well, I think they're hoping that if we don't make enough noise, it'll go away and we'll forget about it. I think that's the attitude from the BBC. It's not, to me, the BBC is biased against Northern Ireland. That's all I think about them.
Now, let's remember that this wasn't just the BBC. This was an ITV debate last night. This is the broadcasters who decided the format of that debate. I mean, you saw seven of the party leaders in there. Imagine if it had been 12. Imagine if you had five Northern Ireland parties. It would have been a farce.
Well, let's put it this way, Stephen. You had the Green Party. We have more MPs in Westminster than the Green Party has, for a start. So, you know what I mean? Fair is fair.
The DUP was threatening legal action. That went nowhere. They didn't follow through with it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Instead of taking legal action, what they should do, the first
thing they didn't
do to get in touch with someone in the EU that could give them an answer as to whether or not the people of Northern Ireland should have been allowed on that debate because it was asked against the people of Northern Ireland. Now, you're supposed to be part of the EU where there's one rule for everybody. But it doesn't seem that way.
Jim, thank you. David next in Belfast. Morning, David.
Hello, Steve.
Go ahead, David.
I'd just like to say, it wouldn't have been any good anybody been on anyway from here last night because it was just an argument across the table. And every one of them was talking about welfare. Get cut some welfare, 30 billion a year. See if they get all the money from the tax avoidance to be able to pay for everything. And then David Cameron saying about jobs. I'm working. You work. And you're on tax credits, you can't do overtime. See, once you do 1 hour's overtime, you lost it in your tax credits. So you're no better off. That's why people don't want to work.
David, thank you. Norman, morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I watched that debate last night, and the only one that talked any sense was Nicola Sturgeon, the Scotland leader. She says that you cannot buy your way out of debt with more austerity, and she's exactly right. Cutting thousands and thousands of jobs is going to drive the country into more debt because you'll not get the tax receipts that the Treasury needs, and she would scrap trade and $100 billion.
Well, you heard me, Norman. You heard me bang on about it with Theresa May. We'll continue to bang on about it.
Yes,
where is that $12 billion? How's that been broken down? And if any of the Northern Ireland parties are going to support that $12 billion of more cuts, of extra cuts in welfare, what are the Northern Ireland parties' red lines before they will support any party that tries to implement that? For example, there was a leaked document. It was just a document. It was not a hard government legislative document, but it was proposals that had been drawn up, which shows that one of the ways of getting to that $12 billion, for example, is to hit the disabled, is to hit people who are disabled.
They will tax the disabled, the families with children. There'll only be two children allowed family allowance. The rest will be scrapped. That's where the $12 billion is going to come from. And the parties here are going to fall in the line with the Tories and Labour. And if Nicola Sturgeon sets up a party here, that's what we need. People here need to waken up to what's happening. Instead of voting orange and green, they need to start voting for a party that's going to look after the people. And Nicola Sturgeon is a leader that looks after our people in Scotland. Free university places, free prescriptions. She's going to reverse a bedroom tax. This woman looks after her constituents. Okay. Not like the parties we have here.
Patrick and Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Hiya. Well, I really enjoyed it last night. And bless the Lord, I'm glad that the DUP did not go to the High Court to get on that show. You can't talk about flags and emblems. That was a political broadcast. It was about education. It was about the NHS. Oh, God.
And our parties here don't have policies on those issues? What are you on about? Of course our policies here.
No, they
don't. Our parties here have policies on those issues beyond green and orange.
Hey, kid. I know
they're running the departments, for goodness sake.
Stephen, what did I tell you? I listen to your program every day. I never hear discussions like I heard last night. 2 hours flew in, and they were contemplating, they were talking in billions. They don't talk in billions here. They talk about slagging each other off.
I go back to the opening statement from Julie Etchingham last night when she stood in front of the whole of the UK and she said, tonight, the England, Scotland and Wales are represented. And
yeah.
Northern Ireland wasn't mentioned.
Right.
Gareth in Cookstown. Morning, Gareth.
Hello. I'd just like to know, Stephen, why people in this country have to pay their TV licence whenever one of our politicians go on and speak in the national debates.
Well, the BBC would say that there's going to be a separate debate here in Northern Ireland.
I have to pay my TV licence since this started coming out that Northern Ireland won't be coming on the TV for their debates.
And that separate and local debate...
I've had a letter out already saying that they're going to take me to court.
Really, for not paying your licence fee?
Well, I haven't paid it now in about 3 weeks just.
Well, the BBC would say that there's going to be a separate Northern Ireland debate which will be, quote, made available to the rest of the UK. But look at the very, very careful language from the BBC, made available. What does that mean? On the internet? What does that mean? Made available to download? In other words, they're not going to broadcast it on one of their mainstream channels? What does made available mean? Are they going to put it on BBC One? Are they going to play it at 4 a.m. in the morning when most people are asleep? What does made available mean? And why have the BBC still not told us? Still not told people like you?
You know, as I'm saying, the likes of me, as I'm saying, when I first heard about it about 3 weeks ago, that Northern Ireland politicians, like, I don't care what side of the fight it is, they would just, once I heard that in the radio, that Northern Ireland will not be represented in any way in these local debates, I then decided then that I pay my TV licence, and I said, now it's only 3 weeks, and they're starting to send me letters.
Well, they rang me up
and said to me, like, you know, you need to start paying your TV licence. I said, I'm not paying my TV licence until I hear somewhere to meet my politicians being on.
Are you not,
to represent me.
Are you not excited about the local election debate that the BBC will be putting on?
Like you said, but what time are they going to put it on? They're going to put it on near the evening. Are they going to put it on the early hours?
No, it'll be, the whole point is it'll be prime time here in Northern Ireland. I'll be watching it.
Yeah, well, it's prime time in Northern Ireland, and that wouldn't be too bad, you know. It gives everybody a chance then to watch it and view it.
All right. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.